All right, this is Jeff McDaniel with Western Carolina University, ENT 610, doing my subject matter expert interview with Mallory Slaybaugh. All right, she is the owner of Girl Boss here in Winston-Salem, and thank you, Mallory, for having me interview you. And so we'll go ahead and get into it. So we'll start with background and experience, your background and experience. And how did you first get interested in marketing?
So I kind of fell into marketing. I was a journalist major in college, and I worked at a newspaper and did like front page design, copy editing. But that was like in 2007 when everything started switching to online, so I could see the writing on the wall. Plus all my coworkers were like pulling flasks out of their desk and they're like 80 years old. I was like, this is not really the career for me. I don't really want to do this. My dad's a small business owner. He's a software developer. It's been since I was a kid. And so I created a resume and I made a position that he did not have in his job. And I mailed it from Texas where I was at college. And then he called me like a week later when he got it, and he actually hired me, but not for what I wanted, to do sales. like all business owners, I had to start at the bottom. But what I really wanted to do and what I love, obviously, is my mix of design and words, which is why I love newspaper. I love interviewing people. I like making copy well. So I really wanted to be able to work into making his business better with the visibility and what I learned in college. So I worked with him for 15 years, learning from the best. We got to travel around the world, training under people, do whatever I want to kind of run the team. And then we got to sell that in 2022. We sold the business. I say we because basically we're partners.
Was your father?
Yes. Yeah. But in the meantime, while we were both running his software company, he found this online side of the business and he wanted to start something on the side. And he took me to all these conventions. And we were like, there's this whole new world of things we could do. Let's both create more businesses on the side. So I launched a business. I just put something out on Facebook when Facebook was cool. And I was like, hey, I'm offering free marketing strategy sessions. You know, fill this form if you want. Overnight, I had like 60 people apply. And so I did all of them in like a 2-week span. And I was like, okay, I've got something here. So that's kind of how I launched. I was really into just marketing consulting when I first started, because that's what people were asking for. And then I kind of fell into the done for you because obviously as a business owner yourself, you know, like how do I keep clients around longer? How do I get that, you know, ROI back? And how do I get that ticket order to go higher? And it was really all the done for you work. Every time there was something crazy in the economy happening, the done-for-you stuff didn't go away. But like people fire coaches, you know, they all that kind of discretionary income. So that's kind of how we grew into the agency, was just building this base of marketing consulting, figuring out what works across all different kinds of industries. And then each year as we get in more on business, I think this will be our 8th year in June, we niche down a little bit more. I can't totally niche down like people tell you to, but we are getting a little bit more narrow in how we work with people. And that's just kind of how I fell into the agency world.
Okay. And so is that what kind of attracted you to it the most, you think?
One of our highest values here is fun. If it's not fun, we're not going to do it. And so one thing I love about one being my own boss and kind of the work we get to do is that it's always different. That's one reason why I don't niche down really strict, because I get really bored if I work with the same type of client all the time, or even if I have long-term clients. I can't do consulting for more than like 1 to 2 years because I'm like tired of their business, which is horrible to admit, but like really, I know myself. So I know I'm like, oh, we're still doing the same kind of conversation. So for me, being able to do kind of like dabble in all kinds of things, because they all have the same base. It's all the same type of tactics we're doing. It's just, how does it play out in their field and what are their price points and, you know, that kind of stuff, all the creativity changes. So that's what makes it fun for me, is that it's always different. I always get to leverage my strengths and I get to say who we want to work with and who we don't.
So at Girl Boss, you guys focus specifically, your niche would be women-owned businesses.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I would say women. We say service businesses just because that's the easiest to sell, and productized businesses are such a different animal. We still work with some. We do product photography. We build Shopify sites a little bit. But primarily people who come to us who are struggling, which is where we excel in, is the visibility piece, where they have a brick and mortar. They don't have to be local to us here, but they have a brick and mortar of some kind for the most part. Not often are they online. Sometimes they're trying to bridge that gap between both. They have an online practice and they want to get into online courses or a membership. They're just expanding their reach. And so it's really helping them stand out in their industry and the marketplace. That's kind of where our niche would be for that.
Okay. And I think you've kind of already mentioned this, but the pivotal moment that kind of shaped you into opening Girl Boss.
So when I traveled with my dad's company, there was about 8 of us. I was the only girl on the team, like always. And we would go to these bro marketing, like if you've heard of 10X type stuff, you know, all those kind of things. We went to all those conferences, and at one of them, it was like the first time I saw a lady dressed to the nines, and she had this like swarm of people behind her in like a V shape, and I was like, that's what I need. I need people like behind me like that. And so for me, it was like, okay, how do I build that? And so that's where the Girl Boss Agency came in, is I want to change the conversation too around, I don't know if your wife had ever experienced this, but a lot of times where women in the marketplace or in the workplace, it's if you're not a doctor or a teacher or a nurse, you're not supposed to work. Like, you've got to get this shame and this judgment around working. I love working. I'm a workaholic. And so for me, it was like, I don't want it to be like, oh, what do? You're not teaching? You're not homeschooling? I wanted to be, I eventually would like to make more money than my husband. Dang it, he keeps getting promotions, so I can't yet. But that's my goal, and I wanted to have conversations and build that kind of community around that. So we looked to hire people that we could help who also had the same ideals. So moms just starting out who also love to work and wanted to find their niche but not run their own business. People who just wanted to have a community. So we did retreats, and we have masterminds, and we do that kind of piece. So that's kind of where the pivotal moment was, is like, oh, I can create this. I don't have to be a bro to have this kind of like ideal of community and mindset, people behind me and that kind of thing. So that's where we shifted into.
That's funny you say that. She struggled to manage a few different businesses because of the fact they were mostly veteran related.
Yeah.
How to leverage your veteran workforce, those types of things. And as a woman in the military, it was very difficult
for
her to justify her existence as a, like, if you're not getting shot at, then you're not a soldier.
Right.
If you've never been to combat or whatever, she was in for 4 years and was stationed in Korea during the height of the famine in Korea. And, at any moment we could have gone to war with Korea and still can. But yeah, she struggled with that and just trying to be legitimized in a male dominant type field. And so she struggled while she was on active duty, but then also struggled to own businesses that were trying to support veterans. And she mostly got crapped on by other veterans, which was also, I've found very interesting. But now my daughters, I have two daughters and one of them's in the military. So they grew up knowing that. And so we've kind of helped them, you know, try to at least overcome it or acknowledge the fact that it is out there.
Or just, if you're more aware of it, I think that at least that helps coming into it.
So yeah, cool. Professional role and responsibilities. So could you describe a typical day in your role, which I would imagine is probably different every day?
It is. So I've built a business. I mean, like you probably experience this too for yourself. I can do everything. I do everything. It's how most people start, is they grow their team. I'm trying to learn how to give away the things that I don't love to do the most. So for my role primarily is I'm the face of the brand. I do all the sales. I do all the networking for the most part. I do all of the copywriting for clients. So I still, that's my passion, is the words. And then we're kind of piecing out the design. So I oversee the big projects, but we really have the team to kind of come in and do some of the done-for-you stuff. So my job is managing clients as far as like the relationship, and then my agency mom does all the task management, and then closing the deals, creating the proposals, meeting people, walking them through that kind of stuff. And then if there's clients that are really like what they're doing, I'll do the like be the main design person as well. But I'm trying to step out of that as much.
Yeah, I find it very difficult as a business owner to work on the business versus in the business.
Yes.
But I also like working in the business. Like, I like doing the construction part of the business, but I don't necessarily like doing the bookkeeping and all the marketing and networking and stuff like that. But yeah, I also tend to like running the business, which is also the fun part for me.
Yeah. Like, I was supposed to have a CEO day on Friday, and that did not happen. So like, my husband is out of town. So like on Friday night, I'm like mapping out, what are we doing for quarter two? I love planning. I like seeing big picture. I like creating new things too. It just doesn't always fit what I wanted to in the schedule.
And you did kind of hit on this a little bit, because the types of clients, you're not specific to a very specific industry or one that you typically work with. So I guess I can reword it to say, which ones do you prefer to work? Which ones do you have the most fun with?
It's not necessarily an industry even. It's more of the type of business owner that comes into us. We really love existing businesses that we're doing makeovers for the most. They're easier in a sense than people just starting out, because people starting out know nothing. They don't even know where they want. And so it's just a much slower grind to kind of get things going. People who are growing, excelling, excited, they're open to all the ideas, and they already know it kind of doesn't work for them. So it allows us to get a lot of results a lot better, a lot faster. So we love those people who are kind of dabbling in all of the things. So like big projects for us, we're trying to sell primarily, is like a website and the photo shoot, and we're doing the brand identity makeover. We're doing all the things. Because we can get so much better results for them when we change everything versus like, can you just like make some changes on my copy? Like, we'll do it, but we're really trying to target that person who is like ready to up level everything in their business, because we have the path to get them there.
Okay. And how do you stay up to date with the latest trends in marketing?
So a couple ways. So I do a lot of like webinars. I have been in a mastermind with like other agency owners, because I really like to learn, even if they're not doing a web design agency, just to understand one, how their clients are coming in. So like I listen to podcasts too, because you can start to see the trends of like, I have an idea of what's coming down the pike based on some of this economy stuff. So what are we, how are we going to readjust some of our stuff? You know, that kind of stuff. That's helpful to hear how other people, bigger markets, are doing it already, or what they're pivoting to. So I really like hearing how people are using AI and stuff, what they're not doing. That's a huge conversation everybody's having. So figuring out like where, like what's our stance on that, and how do we use it, and then how do we publicize it? Like what parts do we do? But those are the kind of things, as much as I can dip my fingers in people doing other stuff ahead of me, that's where I try to go.
Okay. And as far as software goes, do you guys have a software platform, or do you guys kind of use whatever platform the organization uses?
We build primarily on WordPress, for sites. And then, that's like the main thing we use, but like we use all Adobe products. We use all the Google things. As far as communication, we do all of our project management in ClickUp, to manage that kind of stuff and clients. So,
okay.
But pretty much WordPress is where we...
Yeah, for us, we found JobTrad to be the best one for us. Mainly because it's construction
related. Right, and that's probably helpful.
It's a huge help for us, because we can manage all of our...
Yes.
Because it's more than a CRM. It's more of a... I would call it a project management software.
Yeah.
Which is... It's been extremely helpful for us. So when we look at the industry, the marketing, and like that's... I would say that marketing is probably, I would see it as somebody who doesn't do a lot of marketing, as being like discretionary funds.
It definitely can be, yeah.
But it shouldn't be, right?
Right.
I've learned a lot from over the last, you know, few years with going to some of these other organizations that are veteran entrepreneur, like boot camps and that kind of thing, where they're like, you have to market like you're starving. And we're trying to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think that marketing is going to make or break your business. But what do you think the biggest challenges are facing marketing people today, I guess?
So like for me, like what are
yeah.
my professionals
specifically
facing?
Yeah.
I think it's staying. So I feel like you had a question on here, too. It's kind of like, what do you want people to know? I think it's in the next set of questions, but I think a common misconception, and you'll face this with any business I know, is that clients think what you do is one thing, but what you actually do is totally different. And so for example, like social media, keeping up with those kinds of trends, those kinds of platforms and what people expect out of it. It's almost like you want to beat your head against the wall, because you're like, that doesn't actually help your business. And so just the education piece of like, people get bored by educating, but if you don't educate them, you get crappy clients in. So just kind of finding that balance of how do we communicate the most important parts of what we do to help clients get results, and then don't talk about things that they think it is. That's why we don't offer social media as a front end offer anymore, because that was just a headbanging kind of conversation with clients. So that's kind of, I think that across the board, no matter if you do social, you do website, you do ads, it's just helping figure out those expectations and talk about it in a way that makes sense to the client, because they really only see surface level, real highlight type results. They don't understand what's actually happening and what's not working and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I had one person say to me that it's like brushing your teeth, right? Those are the things that you have to do. like the social media part of it. You have to do it, but it's not necessarily what you are looking at from a marketing perspective.
No, we just tell people, like, we call it stay alive. Like, stay alive, so people know you exist. It's consistent. It's happening. It doesn't have to be exciting. It doesn't have to be any of the trends that you're seeing. It just has to be relevant, because it doesn't, for like 90% of people, it's not going to get you clients. It's just proving that you're alive.
Yeah, most of ours is word of mouth.
But again, exactly. Right. But if you're like, don't have anything going out or it's outdated, people are like, oh, I probably shouldn't check them out. They're not doing anything.
Right.
And then they disqualify themselves.
Or with us, I think when we first started, we had a bunch of residential stuff, but we were trying to get into commercial. So they go to our website and they're like, well, do they do commercial?
Right, right.
So yeah, we're working on that as well. But as far as technologies, you talked a little bit about AI. What do you see in the next 5 years as being kind of... the biggest technology booster, I would say, for businesses.
Boost? Oh, man. I don't know. The warp speed that AI has come in and been adopted in the last... So I remember like 2 years ago in January, I went to a workshop in Miami and it was all about learning how to use this thing called ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. And that was before anybody really knew what was happening.
Was that the ChatGPT convention?
No, it was just someone who's like a total geek in this stuff, who was an early adopter. And then 2 years, it's like, I can't even recognize, you know, what that looks like. So I don't really know. I'm a little nervous to see how far AI goes in the next 5 years.
It's going to take all our jobs.
Right? It's going to be interesting. So we try to stay... I want to be able to know how to use it and implement it in ways that keep us relevant. But don't replace us. Like a lot of our stuff, people are like, are you worried about going out of business? I'm like, they can build websites with AI, absolutely. But the types of people who would do that are not our clients anyways. So, so it's different. It's not like everybody's going to go create their own website on Friday night now because there's semi, you know, tools out there to do it.
Right. Well, I guess this goes back to the balance between online and offline marketing and how you see that evolving.
I actually find it interesting. I feel like it's shifting. So while, yes, online's never going to go away and people need to be doing that, I think there's definitely a shift towards more of what I call old school tactics happening, which some of it is just in-person stuff. People are getting more comfortable and get back into that. I think COVID really changed how we interact with people in a negative way. Both negative and positive. So like, people are starting to want to do the in-person events and networking and go meet you face-to-face and door-to-door, which didn't happen for several years. So some of that stuff's coming back because it's so foundational. Like that's, we tell people like, you need to market your business like there's no internet, because those are the key things that are always going to keep you going if the internet does eventually, you know, if something crazy were to happen.
Right, right.
People don't have that skill anymore if they're not just doing the foundational things. So I think it's coming back around.
Yeah, technology, if it crashes, we're...
screwed.
Some
we're
people
all
are screwed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many people are.
Yeah.
We'll have to pull out the old Rand McNally maps and stuff to get in and out of the city. So we'll get into a little bit of your personal philosophy and advice on marketing. What is your personal philosophy when it comes to marketing strategy?
So my personal philosophy is, I would say most businesses are not bad at what they do. They come to me, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst at da-da-da-da. They're not. I really consider most businesses like a best kept secret. So you're not taught how to market, even probably in this marketing thing you're doing. You're learning more theories and things that are happening, and marketing is really done in like boots to the ground kind of stuff. So the only reason I can do it so well is because I work with so many different kinds of people. So it's helping people understand that it's just a mindset shift. It's just, instead of like getting freaked out about sales or marketing or putting yourself out there or like posting on that, it's more of just thinking about how do you tell more people about what you offer. If you like look at it in that framework, it's like I had a mentor once said it was like putting out a plate of warm cookies. You can tell them to eat it, but you're not force feeding them, right? They can choose to select it. And so if you kind of change that, and that's how you approach reaching anybody, it takes all the pressure off of you. The second thing I like to tell people is like, there's no right way to market. There's not a proven path to $1 million. There's not a proven path to success. It's really kind of like a magic formula based on what you do best in your business, who your audience is, and how you operate best. So we have a lot of times clients come to us and they're like, I think I should start doing some reels. And I'm like, you don't even know how to use your phone. I don't think that's really the best path for you. Like, there's a totally different way that you are naturally engaging with people. And if we can just channel how people do things well and just amplify that as a, from a marketing perspective, you're gonna be 10 times more successful than I'm like, here's how you create a reel on the side, or here's what you need to go do on the street corner and hold a sign up, you know?
Yeah, I hate video.
Yeah, it's like meeting people where you're at.
Right.
I think there's so
I would
much
rather do it in person than be on a video for like Facebook. I see people on Facebook all the time that are just like a day like, hey, I'm at this job site or whatever.
Yes.
I'm like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But I think it gets a lot of hits that way. But for me, I think the most I get out of at least marketing our business is being at networking events.
Right. Right.
So this is more of a marketing career path question. But what advice would you give somebody that was just starting their career in marketing?
I would say experiment. Experiment with everything and anything you can. I teach intro to marketing at Wake. And what I tell those students in there is what you're learning is amazing and it's great. But until you actually get out there and just try some of the things you've been hearing about and writing about and telling me in these case studies, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. It's when you start to see what's actually happening, because we can theorize about marketing all day, but until you see how markets respond to it, because that's kind of the missing ingredient. Like, audiences are so unpredictable. And so if it feels like people are throwing spaghetti at the wall, it's because we kind of are, but in a controlled environment, because we kind of know what levers we can pull. So I would say work in a place or try to be in a place where you could try out as many things as possible, whether that's different types of clients, different types of mediums they're trying, different kinds of campaigns they're using, just to kind of see what's working and what's not, because then it will also help you figure out like where your strength is, because you're not going to be just like a great general marketer for the most part, you know.
Right.
You're going to hate some stuff and you don't want to fall into that.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
What skills do you think are the most important for success in marketing strategies?
I would say creativity and thinking. Not like necessarily being a creative person, but if you can think outside the box or connect pieces. So I have worked with, I can't even tell you how many different kinds of industries we've done, like fireplace shops and a private investigator, like all kinds of strange industries people have come to us. And the way I can be like, oh, that's a very similar business model, or they had a very similar kind of problem to this dog breeder. You know, like being able to figure out, how do you figure out things you've already seen or done that is not exactly the same, because it's not going to look the same for any person. So how you make those connections, how you make those campaigns, those creative out of the idea boxes, that's what marketing really is. It's how do we innovate with a specific client we have in front of us.
That makes sense. Yeah, because you use, like for me, my background's aerospace. So now I'm in construction, and how do I use my experience in running aerospace companies into running a construction business? And people are like, how'd you get into construction? And I was like, because I took a test and I was able to get a license. So do I know anything about construction? No, but I know how to project manage.
Yeah.
So you kind of use your skills that you've learned throughout your career.
Right.
In order to be successful. And so how do you foster creativity and innovation in your marketing approaches?
I would say how we try to do it here is kind of goes back to the fun factor. Because we work with clients who probably have something existing, existing business, existing thing they tried, it allows us to kind of look back and see, oh, I can see why this didn't work, or I can see why we kind of went off the rails on something. Let's think about it differently. And just kind of having those conversations around with clients. So I think a lot of times clients, when people work with them, you're like, they think they have this expectation, but really people have no idea what they want or need. And so it's just figuring out who they are and how do we help them feel comfortable in this role in the marketing? How do we make them feel comfortable executing the campaign we've recommended? How do we draw in their personality into what we're doing? Because that's what makes it creative, is really how do we mesh it with them?
Yeah, and I think we're going to get into the campaign part of it in the next interview.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you would say, I guess, that we may have not covered when it comes to your personal journey in getting into marketing, or advice or anything that you want to kind of finish this interview with?
Not really.
No. Yeah, we answered a lot of questions.
Yeah.
There was a lot of...
It might come, something else might come to me, but...
Yeah, we can always go over it in the next interview, but... I wanted to just say thank you again for letting me interview you, and you'll be able to listen to it if you want to.
Okay.
but yeah, I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And we will end this one and go on to the next one.